high cortisol levels contribute to a lot of different health conditions, including immune-related conditions. So from a holistic standpoint, if your horse is PPID, sometimes we get so laser-focused on bringing that number down. Welcome to this week's episode of Healing Horses with Alicia. In today's episode, the topic is the number one way to promote prevention and recovery from equine metabolic syndrome. Now, even though I use labels, generally when you're talking about health conditions for horses, we all use labels, and there's reasons for that. One of them is it's easier to teach. It's easier to sort of compartmentalize certain symptom pictures, patterns, or themes in healthcare when you have a certain name that goes with those symptoms and those specific imbalances in the body. However, from a holistic standpoint, we don't actually love using labels. And one of the reason is because sometimes you get just too laser focused on the one issue, the one condition, the one area of metabolism that might not be working correctly or might not be as healthy, has some imbalances to it. And in doing so, we automatically lose sight of the rest of the body and we stop considering that maybe other things in the body or other processes are contributing to that condition as well. So while I use terms like equine metabolic syndrome and PPID and PSSM, from a holistic standpoint, I'm actually putting all of those in the same category because they are all very related to metabolism. And when we start looking at the approaches to a lot of these conditions, it's the same. So a lot of the same strategies and approaches can be used for all three of those conditions because the underlying causes are very similar. So, and it doesn't matter if it's genetic or not genetic. From a holistic standpoint, we're really just trying to restore balance by setting up a healthier environment for a lot of these biochemical processes to occur so they happen in a very healthy way. So I'm going to talk about the most important imbalances to consider for prevention and recovery from EMS, what causes these imbalances, and then how to prevent them. So for the first part, when we're talking about imbalances, whether we're talking about insulin resistance or PPID or PSSM, the first and most important thing to do is make sure that whatever you're feeding, whatever lifestyle strategies you have in place, and whatever supplements you're providing your horse, and all the other horse keeping decisions that you make for them, everything that basically goes in their mouth or in their body, has to contribute to regulating blood sugar and insulin and also cortisol. Those are the three biggies when it comes to any of these metabolic processes or conditions, because as a lot of us are familiar with, when insulin is chronically elevated or there's some insulin dysregulation or resistance happening in the body and you have high insulin, it can be very damaging to tissues, specifically of the feet. There's a lot of issues that come up as a result of high insulin levels. The other hormone you want to keep your eye on is cortisol levels. You know, we pay more attention to with the Cushing's or PPID. Cushing's is the older name for it. High cortisol levels contribute to a lot of different health conditions, including immune-related conditions. So from a holistic standpoint, if your horse is PPID, sometimes we get so laser-focused on bringing that number down. Meanwhile, they have a ton of immune-related conditions happening at the same time. They have behavioral issues. Their nervous system has become affected. You know, there's a lot of different areas of their health that gets affected by high cortisol. And so we want to make sure that we're kind of tackling it from a multifaceted point of view instead of just narrowing in on one hormone or one biochemical process. So when we're formulating programs for insulin resistance, PPID or PSSM, we really want to stay focused on regulating blood sugar, insulin, and cortisol. Those are the three that are most important. And with that, though, there's other hormones involved here. And that's sort of what happens sometimes if we get too narrowly focused on one particular hormone, we forget about the others. And I know this just from the amount of horses I've worked with, that when you have mares, for example, with high estrogen levels, that's also a complicating factor for some of these conditions. So when we say, well, this horse has high ACTH or high cortisol, it's not just those two at work. It throws a lot of the other hormones out of balance and vice versa. So a lot of these moody mares, for example, that are really irritable might have a lot of imbalances in their estrogen and progesterone levels. And those never get looked at because the focus is always on the PPID and the ACTH and cortisol. So we want to make sure that whatever we're doing, we're seeing good changes in all areas of their health, you know, including, so in that example, we want to see horses maybe calm down with their cycling and all the symptoms related to that, including the aggression and irritability. So those are the most important imbalances to consider. So what causes these imbalances? And just to keep it short and simple, this is a really shorthand way to say this, but it's sugar and stress. If we can get those under control, you're going to be so much further ahead, whether you're trying to recover a horse or trying to get them on the path to recovery, or you're trying to prevent these problems from occurring in the first place. So while we want to keep sugar to a minimum, that's always the concern with these metabolic issues, we also have to realize that there's a lot we can do nutritionally for the metabolism. So it's not just about, you know, controlling every sprig of grass that goes in their mouth. It's also making sure that they have the nutrition to metabolize what's going in their mouth. So I say that loosely in the sense that it's not just about making sure that their sugar is as low as it possibly can be and you're removing every sprig of grass, because I've just seen so many horses where that's not possible in all situations. Their hay might be a little bit higher than we want it to be. We don't have a lot of control in all cases. Sometimes there's no control even over the grazing. And with these horses, you don't ever want to throw them out on pasture and say, I hope you get better. You want to actually take control of the situation and restore balance. But there's also a lot you can do nutritionally to help them regulate their blood sugar a little bit better, even if it's a little higher than you would like. Stress levels. This one I feel sometimes gets forgotten about. We forget about the impact of stress on physiological function and metabolism and regulating hormones. And when the body feels like it's under attack, whether it's emotional stress, physical stress, mental stress, something in their environment, the body doesn't know the difference whether it's real or not. So it is going to have the same reaction. And that involves high stress hormones like cortisol. So if you take a horse, for example, let's say that maybe has a Cushing's diagnosis or PPID diagnosis and they have high ACTH, and you put them in an environment, you isolate them and start restricting food. So I talked about this in a previous podcast. Are we getting further ahead with our hormone balance? Are we regulating their hormones to the best of our ability? Because now they're worried they're not going to be fed when they need to, and they're hungry, and you're compromising their digestive system at the same time. And they're craving their social aspects, so their emotional needs are being met. And when you have horses under those chronic lifestyle factors, so they're just under stress all the time, it's just tension, they just hold tension all the time, you're going to have a really hard time getting ahead with any metabolic conditions, because as one of the responses to stress is high blood sugar. So the body will keep the blood sugar higher when the body's under stress so it can use it to flight for flight if it needs to. So it has enough resources for stamina to help the horse run, flee, whatever the situation is, and just for overall strength. So that those two processes together can really work against you if you have a horse that in a high stress environment that is also insulin resistant, because now you're just perpetuating high blood sugar all the time. And with high blood sugar comes high insulin. And if you have a laminitic horse that's got some inflammation in the feet and they're visibly sore and unsound, you now have a physical stressor. So that is going to increase insulin and cortisol at the same time. So you can quickly see how some of these nutritional factors and lifestyle factors really can collide together to create a real recipe for disaster. And it's not that these things can't be corrected and the horse can't get on a better path. It's just finding out what's going to work best for that horse. So that's what causes these imbalances. Really, it's diet and lifestyle. These conditions are a diet and lifestyle related. And whether or not there's genetic factors at play here, you still need to be creating an environment in the body and outside their body where those genes can express themselves as readily. So there's a lot of horses that have different variations of different genes and different mutations. And I think as we continue going forward, if we don't get some of these lifestyle and environmental and nutrition factors corrected, we are going to find a stronger genetic component even to insulin resistance, just because the environment's not changing, the genes sit in the same environment, and they just mutate to adapt over time. So how can we prevent them from a diet lifestyle perspective in the domestic world? This is sort of the four different aspects I look at with every horse that I work on, every horse that goes through one of my programs where I'm involved. I always want to make sure we're covering all our bases. And these bases are different depending on your horse, their history, where they are today. Sometimes they can also be complicated by other health conditions as well. So you got to keep that in mind. For some of these horses, it's just straight run-of-the-mill insulin resistance. And for some of them, it's not. So for some of them, if there's digestive conditions or histories of ulcers and colic, and a lot of them have a leaky gut. You might have some immune-related issues like uveitis or melanomas. You might have some skin conditions or more infection-type related things like scratches, rein rot, mud fever. So there's a lot of complications that can happen with a lot of these horses. So you always want to personalize or customize a program the best you can. But for the most part, there's just four different factors that you have to consider, and it's going to be different on how effective they are for the particular horse that you're working on. So the first one, of course, is lifestyle. So you can really control a lot of the stress levels that your horse is experiencing mentally, physically, and emotionally just with the lifestyle they're in. And I can tell you it really does make a big difference. And just as an example, one of my members and clients, she's been in our group for a really long time. She has a gypsy cop, and they are notorious for being easy keepers, hard to keep weight off. They're definitely in the high risk metabolic horse category. And so she was always really concerned and really watching the amount of hay her horse was eating for that reason, really worried she was going to gain too much weight. Even though she does exercise her regularly and really looks after her diet, nutrition, body work, all that stuff. And she went from feeding two amounts per day, so feedings in the morning and later at night, and slow feeders. So she had them last for a little bit of time there, but she really increased that, I think, to four, maybe four feedings per day. And it completely changed this horse's health. Like, it changed everything for her. It improved her digestion. It really relaxed her nervous system. She now feels comfortable lying down for the first time, which she never did before. Her immune system got better. There was just a lot of really positive changes just by reducing stress levels. And by her surprise as well, she actually didn't gain as much weight as she expected her to by feeding her more. And we have to remember that horses are grazers, they're hay burners, so they need to have hay and forage moving through their digestive system at all times to be fully functional and healthy. So that's just one example, but there's lots of different examples, you know, and I think this is a battle a lot of horse owners have, is how can we create a good lifestyle for them, keep them healthy, and still allow them to be out with their friends. So let's say you've got a herd of hard keepers that need to be out on pasture and grass, and you've got that one horse that kind of blows up on grass. Like, there's just some management issues that come up like that all the time. And so you have to find the balance that works best for your herd, even if that means, you know, pulling another easy keeper off the pasture and letting, you know, a couple of them live together in a different area, just to kind of reduce grass or at least limit grass if sugar sensitivity is high. If you have a horse with insulin resistance, PPID, or PSSM, make sure to take in my free masterclass, Resolving Equine Metabolic Syndrome Naturally. You can sign up at www.alishaedwards.com/masterclass. That's Elisha Edwards.com/masterclass. Inside, you're going to learn the top three most common mistakes that can stand in the way of your horse's recovery from insulin resistance, PPID, and PSSM. And you're going to learn my four-step guide for prevention and recovery from all three conditions, taking a holistic approach. This has been tried and tested on thousands of horses with great results. To sign up, www.alishaedwards.com/masterclass, and you'll also find the link in the show notes. And then, of course, we have diet. So for those of you that have been listening to my podcast, taking courses with me, etc. Diet is a really big part of addressing or approaching equine metabolic syndrome, PPID, PSSM, all those metabolic conditions. And I don't just use it to reduce sugar, right? So I take a much different approach to diet with these conditions. I'm using diet for therapeutic purposes as well. I'm using it to provide micronutrients like vitamins and minerals. I'm also using certain macronutrients to regulate blood sugar and insulin. It's very effective if you get that combination right for that particular horse. And one of the first signs or indications that I hear from people that we kind of do that with and start using different macronutrients like fiber, for example, to slow down insulin is that they're more satisfied. Like they don't want to stand at their hay bag all the time. They want to move around with the other horses and have a nap and all of those things. And so that's a really good indication to you that they're feeling better. They're not as hungry all the time, which means, you know, they're eating less, which means they're going to lose weight too. And that often follows just by using diet in that way, instead of just keeping your focus on making sugars to a minimum and making sure that it falls within a certain percentage. Because as a lot of you know, we don't always have that much control, you know, so especially with the drought situations in many areas of North America, for sure, we get what we get sometimes. And so you got to have some strategies and some protocols in place to help support these horses when that happens. And then we have nutritional therapy. So that's another area of my programs that I put a big emphasis on for all these metabolic conditions, because nutritional therapy means that you're using certain vitamins, minerals, like the micronutrients, to alter the course of the biochemistry in the body. So it's restoring balance by using the properties of certain nutrients. And so a good example of that, especially for insulin resistance, for example, would be using selenium to support thyroid function. Whether or not they're deficient in it, I don't really need blood work to tell me that. I don't need a hair tissue mineral analysis to tell me that. I'm using selenium to help support better thyroid function, making sure that those hormone conversions are getting done correctly, and also making sure that they've got energy. And so one of the most common symptoms with a lot of these metabolic conditions is actually fatigue. Like these horses, a lot of them just don't have very good energy. And if they don't have very good energy, their metabolism isn't helping them out any, and they aren't burning calories. And so you want your horses moving around, having energy, playing with other horses. That's just a really good sign of good mental, emotional, and physical health. So you can use certain nutrients for a lot of those purposes. And there's a few of them. Selenium isn't the only one, and you can use them in a very functional way to help support metabolism. Cortisol levels, insulin, blood sugar, you name it. There's nutrients that help out with a lot of that because that is their job in the body. And then lastly, the last approach. So once you've got lifestyle factors corrected and addressed, you've got the diet dialed in for that horse and what's working for them and, you know, making them feel more satisfied, not wanting to eat all the time. You've got certain nutrients in the program to support all of these processes. Then you can start using herbs. You can use a lot of herbs to support digestion. You can use herbs to help regulate blood sugar sometimes. You can use herbs to help with stress levels. So you can use them to support the adrenal glands, the pituitary gland, which all of which just helps with better overall health. So lots of these plants have good medicinal properties to them. They also have nutrition in them. And when you combine all four of these approaches or modalities together, you can get some really great results. Like you can get horses that completely turn their life around, completely turn their health around, and all of the signs and symptoms can disappear. That is really possible for your horse. And numbers can return to normal too. So I see this on a regular basis where people just can't believe the benefits to their horses, and just looking at the blood work and comparing it before and after is just the biggest reward of all. So I'm going to leave that there today, but we are coming into spring at the time of this recording. It is April 18th, and we are going to get into lusher grass, more sugar in their life. And I know a lot of you are starting to think about, how am I going to manage this year? So I hope that gives you some good ideas on maybe just a different perspective on how you're going to approach it this year. And if you haven't jumped into my Resolving EMS course already, I walk you through the process of formulating a good solid program for prevention and recovery using diet, lifestyle, nutrients, and natural remedies. So I'll put the link in the show notes so you can jump in and register today. If you've already got it, go back in there, take advantage of all the information, get your program formulated, and your horse will thank you coming into the spring and summer. We'll see you all next week.